Good evening or afternoon or morning, depending on when you're tuning in. My name is Stacey Sherman Kapczynski. I am a spiritualist, a member of the Lilydale Assembly, and the new owner and operator of Sacred Grounds Coffee House in Lilydale, New York. I'm excited to be your host once a month, Sundays, for Sunday of every month in the evening, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, to bring you a podcast called Who Are These Spiritualists? And this is going to be a radio podcast show that introduces you to all different types of spiritualists who are practicing as a science, philosophy, and religion, their lifestyle in modern spiritualism. We all know that the movement of spiritualism started, you know, well before March 31st, 1848, with some events, but that day particularly, March 31st, 1848, which is just a few days from this recording, is when the advent of modern spiritualism, the movement, if you would, started in the US. And, you know, I think that it's important as a spiritualist to realize that there are many of us and you're not alone in your beliefs or your practice or your living. And this podcast or this radio program will introduce you to spiritualists from all over the world and how they incorporate spiritualism into their daily living, be it healing, mediumship, a spiritual living practice, connection to spirit, whatever it is that they do. And I'm very excited for today. This is our first broadcast. And our first guest, our first spiritualist is the Reverend Julie Gray, and she is from Southern Maine. She's a medium, visual artist, and a wedding photographer. She earned her BFA in photography from Rhode Island School of Design in 2005, and her MFA in studio art from Maine College of Art in 2012. She's ordained through the City of Light Spiritualist Church in Lilydale, New York, and has studied mediumship since having a near-death experience in 2009. Because of this incident, she has sought to provide the continuity of life and healing to those who seek it. And as a clairvoyant and an active member in the artistic community, she oftentimes incorporates aura drawings, smoke drawings, intuitive charcoal drawings into her mediumship and work, embracing the connection between the artistic and the mediumship process. So I'm definitely excited to have her on today. We're going to have a wonderful talk, and I welcome you to not only listen to this beautiful interview with Julie, but to check out all of the Lilydale radio programs. There are numerous mediums and spiritualists and Lilydale Assembly members who offer just a wide variety of different podcasts and radio blogs to introduce us on how to live a more spiritual life, become a spiritualist if we want to become a spiritualist and live a spiritualist life, understand the precepts of mediumship and healing and how that wonderful connection to the world beyond this one is very much real and formed and normal. So I invite you to sit back and relax. I found Lilydale, and Lilydale was my start of my journey. So, and it's where I met Julie. So without further ado, we'll just start with Julie here in a few moments, and we welcome you to sit back, get a drink, and learn all about Julie and all about these spiritualists.
Okay.
Look at that. And here's Julie. I like that. That's like that. What was that show? I'm trying to remember. And here's Johnny. That's it, Johnny.
Yep.
Fun. Well, here is Julie. You got to hear all about her when I read her bio. So I'm super excited. Thanks, Julie, for coming on and being my first guest of Who Are These Spiritualists? Wow.
So excited. So excited. I'm so glad you have your own show.
I know. I was just saying how much like Lilydale, you know, was for me how I found spiritualism and then even found you. So here's the big first question. How did you find spiritualism?
It was also through Lilydale. I had a near-death experience in like you know, 2009. Okay. And, you know, it kind of took me a few years to kind of really process what had happened. But two summers after that, I found myself at Lilydale after watching the HBO movie, No One Dies in Lilydale.
Yeah.
And yeah, I just felt the call to go there and started learning about spiritualism and kind of fell in love.
Not to be too personal about your near-death experience, but would you be willing to share any, like, you know, like your experience, or how did that, you know, like, I have not had one. I've studied some. I've heard they're profound. So what is it that happened with you?
Yeah, it's very undramatic in some ways. I felt bad that I had a while, and I was kind of classified. Dash of agnosticism just in case. And yeah, I had the whole tunnel. The tunnel, there was no light.
Oh.
So, and I think that's just because I was so heavily, you know, yeah, atheistic slash agnostic, where yeah. I literally was like, that doesn't happen. You turn to dust, you know? So, and sometimes people are like, so do you think you just weren't dead enough to see that light?
Okay.
Yeah. And I was not breathing for a really long time. Both of my parents and my brother were there. And wow. When it happened. So, yeah, it was scary. And I, in a kind of a last ditch effort, I was just kind of panicking, and I was like, I don't want this to just be it.
Sure. You know,
I don't want to turn into dust and that be the end of the story. So I started praying. Yeah. And I had never prayed before. I didn't know how to pray, if there was a certain protocol, you know, if I was praying to the right God. I was just like picking up the phone and dialing operator basically.
I love that. Picking up the phone. That's all that prayer needs to be. Pick up the phone, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I literally was like, if you exist, if there is some kind of entity greater than ourselves, you know, please bring me back and I'll try to figure this out. I'll try to get some answers for myself. I'll try to be of service to people in general. And yeah. Well, and I could hear my parents' voices saying, she's turning pink again. Like she's getting color again.
Oh, so I got goosebumps.
Yeah. And their voice started getting louder and louder and louder because they were literally right over my head. But for a while, I couldn't hear anything, even though they were screaming at each other, freaking out.
Goodness.
Yeah. So it was weird, but very undramatic. Like I didn't even directly hit my head. It was just the speed with which I fell created the concussion.
Sure, sure.
Yeah. Well, dramatic story in that sense.
No, I think it's a great, you know, and again, we won't go into near death topics. We're talking about spiritualism and spiritualists, but it's a fascinating topic. And there's been a wide range of people and their experiences. So I think it's great, but I do find that most everyone who has even one, dramatic or undramatic, has kind of somehow found their way into that spiritual world. So you walk into Lilydale for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
What do you remember?
Oh, just a shift in the air. That was immediate. The first few years I went with my mom, and because safety in numbers, I guess.
Because we don't know who these spiritualists are.
Exactly. I had no idea what to expect aside from watching that movie. So yeah, kind of went into it entirely blind. I did buy the book, you know, written by Ron Nagy. I had given that to my mom for that Christmas. So we kind of had some idea.
Sure, sure.
yeah, the shift in the air was absolutely the first thing that I recall feeling and sensing.
Yeah, there is something, you know, energetic when those gates, when you go through those gates, like you hear people either say, you know, I feel something, I felt like home, you know, I finally felt like I found that little community that I belonged, you know, like, what is this? Like a piece of me was unearthed or discovered, or I have no idea, but very interesting. So what first drew you? Like, were you into the mediumship aspect, the healing, the, you know, philosophy? Was it a little bit of everything? What drew you?
Immediately, it was the mediumship. Absolutely. Because I think I was still kind of yearning for that proof of the existence of the soul after we die.
Sure.
Because of that experience that had happened a few years prior. So, yeah, that was definitely the hook for me. And then, yeah. And then the philosophy, you know, once I actually started attending church services and really got a better understanding of what it is in a greater sense, then yeah, the philosophy of it and you know, the principles of it really got me.
I remember, my first reading in Lilydale, you know, and it was with Carol Gasper. She's now in the spirit world, but, you know, medium. And I remember being like, how does she know that? Like, it was really unusual. Like, you know, I just remember that aspect of going, I want to know how she knows that. And I want to know more, you know. Is so speaking of that, as you know more now, you are an ordained minister, right? Yeah. A spiritualist. So you went like full board. You're like, oh, I'm not just going to practice it. I'm going to be it. Right.
Yeah.
So, how did that journey start? Like, how did you kind of, I know you said I started going to church. So what kind of drew you into your mediumship development and then becoming ordained?
Yeah, just visiting Lilydale a lot, and getting to know people like Patricia Price. I love Patricia Price so much, and having conversations with her about, you know, greater purpose. And, you know, right off the bat, she's like, I see you're going to have a church one day. And I was like, oh, like, I didn't even really think of that as a possibility. And then it was actually the summer of 2020. You know, when, you know, everything was hitting the fan. Yes. And I went to Lilydale a lot because I'm a wedding photographer, but all of my weddings canceled.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah. It was very stressful and a lot of trust had to be put into the universe. And I really just started thinking, you know, what is it that I really want to do, like, long-term? Who do I want to be? You know, what is my relationship with spirit? So I had the time and the space and the energy to really ask those questions. And then actually I was sitting out at Stump for the 1 o'clock, and I can't remember who brought me the message. It was a visiting medium from Lilydale, I believe, but I can't recall who it was, but it was the anniversary of my grandfather's passing. And it was the 20-year anniversary, like a big, or 25-year, I can't remember, but it was a big, you know, significant anniversary. And he was a Lutheran minister. And so I was baptized by him as a baby. And so I had never actually heard from him in spirit at that point. And I just always assumed, like, oh, he's just busy being a minister on the other side, you know?
Yeah.
Busy, yeah. You know, he thinks we're doing fine over here. But a message was brought to me and they said, I feel it's the anniversary of a significant passing and your grandfather is here to say that he wants you to do it. Whatever is on your mind, what has been on your mind this afternoon, do it. You have his full support. So, you know, I kind of took that as my green light from spirit.
And, oh my gosh, I have like goosebumps and my eyes are filling. I always say when our heart fills with so much love, our eyes leak. Like, how awesome was that?
And that day was also my mom's birthday. And at their house, she had some family members over for lunch and the lights were flickering at like the same time that all of this was happening. So Yeah, it was a wonderful afternoon.
Oh my gosh, I love what spirit can do. I love it. I love it. Oh, so now, speaking of that, so now you're ordained. I see that you're serving churches. You're doing, you know, art. Well, that's, I mean, how do you balance your love of art, your love of spirit? Do you combine it? Tell me about it.
Yeah, I combine it whenever I can. I mean, some people are more open to having that kind of incorporated into their message work, into their readings. I've been doing some like smoke readings, some intuitive charcoal drawings, and kind of interpreting messages from those. You know, I used to, you know, going to Lilydale all the time, like seeing Bonnie White work. I was just like, how can I not try this myself, you know? Right. So it's just so much fun. And at the Portland Spiritualist Church, I've been doing some little classes there on Friday nights, which I should start that up again. But yeah, we did the smoke readings and got pretty close to setting off the alarms.
All right. There's a good one.
It was a good time. We made sure we had lots of water and it was safe.
But, you know, listen, us spiritualists, we're kind of fun, aren't we? Like we're kind of, you know, all about, you know, having a good time and
Why not?
Absolutely. So one of the things that one of the reasons I want to do this podcast, I want to meet all these people is I think that for me, when I came home from Lilydale the first time, I didn't realize there was even a spiritualist church in Wisconsin. Two, like there was actually an education center that was formed in Wisconsin, you know, and then there were other spiritualists. Like for a while, you really think like, I must be the only one who believes this. Like I must be. So when you, like the first two times you said you went with your mom and, you know, kind of got in, when you started going back home, did you start finding people? Finding the spiritualists.
Yeah. And it did take a while for sure. And also, you know, I didn't know, I still am kind of like an introverted extrovert, you know? Yeah. So, you know, it's hard to put myself out there and do things, especially like by myself. But I actually didn't know that Portland had a local church here until actually I had a reading with Janice Dreschman and she was like, yeah, well, you know, there's a church right there. And I was like, what? There is? Oh, okay. So I started, you know, doing all the Googling when I got home.
That's great. That's
yeah. Great. But I was like, it's literally been here for decades. I had no idea.
Well, I think sometimes people get confused. Like they think spiritualism is new age or metaphysical or new, but it really has a rich, deep history, yeah. You know, even in our own individual states, you know, it's really fascinating to me, the history aspect of it. So of course I'm a huge history buff, but that being said, you know, have you dug into the history and is there anything in the history that you find inspiring or a person that you might find, you know, that you're kind of intrigued with?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a bunch, but, and sure. I feel like, you know, people would assume that I'd be primarily interested in like the female history. And I am, obviously, you know, it's a very female led religion and philosophy and everything, which is fantastic. And a lot of people are like, oh, you must be really interested in like the spirit artists, and like, you know, the Campbell brothers, for example, you know, yeah. Yes to everything. But like, kind of delving into like the Maine roots, because I'm here in Maine, the edge of the country. And, you know, I've really kind of been interested in like, you know, Harrison D. Barrett.
Yeah.
Really like he formed the church, kind of made it, I don't want to say, it's not legitimate is the word I'm looking for, obviously, but you know, that pen to paper and kind of created the more formal aspects of the religion, forming the NSA. I'm kind of like diving in on him. Plus there's like Camp Etna in Etna, Maine, and you know, they have like the Barrett little park where his daughter was bullied. And of course you become intrigued and you're like, who is this? I want to know more about this.
Yeah. And Maine, you know, being in Maine, it's pretty rich in history too, because you have Camp Etna, you have Madison Camp, you have Temple Heights, and is it Bangor, I think? There was even another one that was, Pinpoint? I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
That sounds super familiar. It must be.
It might.
Pinpoint.
Yeah. But you have like a state association, which, you know, I mean, I know. Okay. So here's your PSA, your public spiritualist announcement. I should say your PSHA, your public spiritualist history announcement. State associations actually started forming before national organizations started, or just around the time of the national, the NSA, like you said, for Harrison D. Barrett. I know Wisconsin had one, Maine has one, and they still have one. So, I mean, they're really trying to group. So you must be rich in history in Maine, I bet.
Yeah. And I mean, to be honest though, like even finding information about HDB, it was kind of difficult.
Was it?
And so now that I know kind of more avenues that I want to like delve into a little bit more specifically, like I'm definitely going to take advantage of like the library at Lilydale and really get deep in the weeds there in those books. Because it is kind of, you know, the history is here, it took place here, but I feel like the resources are still kind of hard to find.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I find that too. Like sometimes I'm obviously, you know, a history buff. So I stalk like all these historians. Ron Nagy's a great wealth of knowledge. Marilyn Autry's a great wealth of knowledge. Elton Brumfield, great founts of knowledge. I mean, these people, I mean, there's just dozens and dozens of them. Hopefully maybe I'll have some idea. There we go. Put it out to the universe. I'd like you to be on my show. to dive into that history, but so much of it was like, oh, that was something my aunt did. You know what I mean? It was like, oh, and all those papers are probably shoved in an attic or a closet or.
Yeah, they're all mildewing. Yeah.
Save the history. I think Harrison D. Barrett, he was pretty attractive, I think, too. I'll have to find a picture.
Yeah, he was. And he was described so. I found a few descriptions of him that were really funny and charming. They were like, he had all the feminine charm that you could embody, but masculine as well. I'm just like, he sounds super awesome. Right. And he had a really great mustache as well.
Yes. Oh, good. Yes. That's because I kept having a picture in my mind or an image of my mind. And I think it was that one where he's standing and has that. Yes. That mustache. Oh, too fun. Too fun. Well, and in a way, Julie, everyone, you know, who's a spiritualist watching, we've kind of been passed the torch by all of these, you know, pioneers, forerunners, spiritualists, I don't care whatever you want to call it, you know, Marilyn said it best in her book title, They Paved the Way, you know, because they have paved that road for us to be, you know, ordained spiritualist ministers, mediums, healers, you know, out there practicing this, I don't know, it's a lifestyle to me. I hate to, you know, I know that they call it a science, philosophy, and religion, but I truly believe it to be more of a lifestyle. Or do you find that? Or what is your favorite aspect of that triune?
Absolutely. I definitely find that the lifestyle aspect should be kind of expressed more, you know, because it's so important that we actually like follow the path and because the principles are so beautiful, you know, the golden rule, who's going to argue with the golden rule? No, but really practicing that in our life, like daily, it's, you know, the lifestyle should be, you know, stress a little bit more because it's so important to who we are. And if we, I mean, a lot of people can pay their dues to a church and say that they're a spiritualist, but if you're not really living the lifestyle of one, then what's the point?
Exactly. And that's why for me, you know, some people say like, you know, we need to shed labels. Like we should just be able to be who we are. And I do agree on that. I also agree though, that there's certain labels I like to be, you know, and being a spiritualist is one that I tell people almost right away because I want to engage in the conversation. You know, I am, you know, I always loved that. They always said that spiritualism is a religion of conviction, not conversion, yeah. Right? So that like you were on the hunt for that proof of continuity, had that experience, was like, okay, I promise. Like, I love it. I love it. You know, like I dialed up, like, caught, like, huh, hey, universe, hey, God, infinite, whatever. Like,
hello, anyone?
Hey, yes, yes, yes. I'm tuning in now. I'm tuning in. And, you know, and moving that, you know, forward and by saying like, you know, here's what I believe, you know, again, I'm not asking you to believe what I believe. I'm asking you though, to search, to make sure you believe what you believe. Is that even a sentence?
I get it. It's a sentence.
Okay. Yeah. So that being said, what, you know, where do you feel like you want to go? Like if you could see Julie in 2 years, 3 years, are you going to have that church? Like that medium said, I mean, who knows, but.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm ready to have a church yet. It would probably be more long-term down the road, maybe like 20 years down the road, 15-ish. But yeah, I mean, definitely, I would like to travel more to other churches. Yeah, just be a familiar face for the religion and yeah, to kind of just talk about it, because like you said, it's not about conversion. It's just about being there for other people to see. And yeah. It's important that we're there kind of like with our feet on the ground. Really getting the word out there and telling people that we still exist and we're not just like something your aunt did. Like we are living, we are
yes,
here in the world.
We're here. Yeah, we're out there. I love that idea of traveling too. I know that so many of our viewers, you know, you might feel like there isn't something in my state. And there are a few that might not have like an open church per se, but remember we formed on home circles too. And, you know, just get together societies, groups, you know, I think what is the definition of church where two or more gather, I think, right. So, you know, churches, it isn't the necessarily stereotypical when we talk about church, that idea of coming up, but I want to go back and ask a question because I still, as I'm even saying church now, I just feel that story of your grandfather, like, oh my gosh, you know, being, you know, a minister and all of that. So what an aha moment that is, because I feel like throughout our journey, we have many of these aha moments. We forget sometimes how significant something was. Like, for example, it was pointed out to me the very first time I went to Lilydale, did not meet Julie the first time. That was more recent, but I did go with a very dear friend of mine, Jessica, and it was like the third day in and we were walking past the coffee house and I just pointed to it and I said, one day I'm going to own that.
Love that.
And then it's like, I totally forgot I ever said it, you know, but she reminded me, she told me the people we were with and I'm like, oh, she has a good memory. And I'm like, yeah, that's an aha moment because here this is, right? So your grandfather's story is like a huge aha moment, but what other aha moments have you kind of maybe experienced since, you know, coming into this?
I mean, a lot of it is just, and it's, I guess, not really a moment specifically, but just how the universe and spirit will arrange things for you to be in the right place at the right time. You know, being a wedding photographer and having all of my weddings cancel on me within the span of like 1 week. It was just like, oh God, I'm checking my email. Like, here we go again.
Oh no.
But I got to spend so much time in Lilydale, had more time to have the right conversations. And even now, like this year where I'm like, darn, you know, I wish I had a little bit more work this summer. But then I'm like, but no, that means, you know, it opens up other opportunities and really, you know, seeing that for what it is in a positive light and seizing those opportunities. So it's an ongoing aha moment for me, but it's like you constantly need that reminder of like, no, just trust. Spirit takes care of you. Like Everything is for a reason. Go do the thing that you were thinking about doing during this time. Yeah.
Amazing. I love that.
Yeah. And then there was one mediumship reading that I did with Jake Samoyedny. And it was one of the first few seasons that I had been there before I started taking any classes or anything. And I was in my studio and I was working on a paper mache mandolin for an installation at one of the museums up north. And I mean, it sounds really weird. It's actually sitting around here somewhere. And my friend from like childhood through high school had passed somewhat recently. And she always like really loved my art. You know, she was like part of art club with me. And she's like, oh, I wish I was better like you. And I'm like, don't say that. And so she came through Jake. And it was just so specific because he first off said, her name's Amanda, correct? And I was like, yes. And you know, whenever anybody can get a name, I'm just like,
right, like,
stop it. And he said, and she's making a joke because I feel like she likes some cheesy jokes. And she's saying, she's talking about your art. And she's saying, my first name's Amanda. And my middle name is Lynn. And my last name is Player. Amanda Lynn Player. Like.
And you're working on a man.
Constructing a paper mache mandolin. And she, I'm sure she probably was hanging out with me in my studio, kind of like working alongside me. So that was like a mind blowing because it got her personality in there. It got, you know, proof of what I was currently doing. And I was just like, oh my God.
That, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Uh-huh. That was a big aha for me too, of a real, oh wow, there's a lot more to this. And
yeah.
And it was actually like, that reading, he was at the end because he likes to chat afterwards, which I appreciate. He was like, you should take some classes. Here's my phone number. I'll hook you up with some classes. So that really got me going into like really learning more.
Yeah.
Developing. So yeah. Oh my big aha.
That is amazing. You know, I just have to say, you know, I know we're getting close to our wrap up time, but I did want to say like the season opens end of June into Lilydale. You know, so you can absolutely come and check us out in Lilydale, probably run into Julie in the streets at the stump, who knows what, make sure to say hi. But, you know, come and experience it. And if you're unable to travel too, you know, or maybe you're from Maine, you know, check out what's in Maine or check out what's in your state too, you know, because there might be something there also. And if not, you know, I think COVID has taught us one thing, we can at least meet online, you know, I at least we can do that way too. Oh, Julie, this has been so much fun. So tell me though, before we wrap it all up, is there, you know, a way to get in contact with you if people wanna, you know, say hi or, you know, check in or learn more about Julie or how can people get in touch with you?
Yeah. I'm on Instagram, psychic medium, Julie K. Gray. I have the website, which is the same thing .com. Yeah. I'm on Facebook. I'm on all the things. So absolutely. If anybody has any questions or they want to just have a conversation, reach out.
Yeah.
And I'll be in Temple Heights in August. So any Mainers or people that don't want to make the long drive to Lilydale, come up to Temple Heights. I'll be there in August. I think the 5th through the 12th, I'll be there. I think those are the
dates. Perfect. Oh. Yeah. You know, the thing is I really hope that this show, I know this was the first one, but I really hope that this show helps people realize that there are, look at spiritualists. And we're pretty normal. I like to think, well, what else the definition of normal is, right? Come and learn and you know, be inspired by, you know, one thing that, you know, spiritualism kind of did for me too, is teach me about like natural law or the law of energy, you know, and law of vibration. And, you know, it's like, we need all kinds to make the world go round. You know, that's what my grandmother always said, you know, what a boring world it would be if we were all the same. And I thought, oh, that's true. That is true. So thank you everyone for tuning in. Julie, it's been a splash. I don't even know where that comes from, whoever says that, but I don't know. I did. Your background just inspires me. That just beautiful color everywhere. Like, I cannot get enough of it. I feel like if your aura, you know, if I could see your aura, it probably looks like a menagerie, a melodious mixed media of all that stuff that you do. It's just amazing. Thank you for being my guest, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to Who Are These Spiritualists on Lilydale Radio. Again, my name is Stacey Sherman Kavchinski. I am the host of Who Are These Spiritualists. It'll be put on the fourth Sunday of every month, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Next month, my guest, I'm very excited to have the minister Jackie Wright, who is the current president of the Spiritualist National Union. Not only are we based here in the US, but spiritualists are worldwide. So we will talk to the president of the SNU next month. So please join us then. Again, I remind you, we do record our shows. So Julie, if you want to be tasked when this gets uploaded, check out the comments. I will check out the comments. We will respond accordingly through this. But for simplicity reasons, I feel like live scares me. Is that funny? I always say we should never call them dead because I feel like they're more alive than we are. So I don't know what scares me most sometimes, the living. I think so.
Yeah.
Oh, well, thanks again, Julie, for your time and sharing. And everyone, thanks for listening in. Have a great evening, afternoon, or morning, depending on when you listen. Thank you.